Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated.
All right.
God bless you and thank you for being in church tonight. If you can you write these words down? These are the words of a song I want to teach you. It's a very simple song. It says, I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. Then the next line, I want to know who you are. I want to know who you are. So wanna, that's in American English, wanna. I want to know who you are. So the first line, I want to be where you are. Next, I want to know who you are. Then the next line, so when you call my name. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. Next line, I am listening, Lord, speak to me. I am listening, Lord, speak to me. Then speak to me again. So to run through again, I want to be where you are. I want to know who you are. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. All right. So that's first verse, then second verse. I want to see how you see. I want to see how you see. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. I want to see how you see. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. Then the next line, if there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight, if there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight. If there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight. If there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight. Then you go back to, I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. All right. Did you get all that? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's run through it again. I want to be where you are. I want to know who you are. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Then the second verse, I want to see how you see. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. If there is anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight, I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. All right. You got that? All right. So it runs like this. I wanna be where you are. I wanna know who you are. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. From the top again. I wanna be where you are. It's too slow, Master. I wanna know who you are. Take it again from the top. I wanna be where you are. I wanna know who you are. Take it again. I wanna be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I wanna know who you are. So when you call my name, so when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. Now let's do so when you call my name. So when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. We want to take it from the top again. From the top. I want to be where you are. I want to know who you are. So when you call my name, so when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Now let's go, the second verse. I wanna see, I wanna see how you see. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. Let's take it from the top again. I wanna see how you see. How you see. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. Take it again. I wanna see how you see. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. There's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. Do the second verse again. I want to see how you see. I want to see how you see. How you see. Change my heart, Lord. Change my heart, Lord. Make me holy. There's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me.
it again from the very top. I wanna be where you are, where you are. I wanna know who you are. I wanna know who you are. So when you call my name, so when you call my name, I'll say to you, here I am, I'm listening, Lord, speak to me. Second verse, I wanna see, I wanna see how you see. So change my heart, Lord, make me holy. Does anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight? I'm listening, Lord, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. Speak to me, speak to me. Tell the Lord to speak to you tonight. Speak to me. One more time, speak to me. Speak to me. So when you call my name, so when you call my name, I'll say to you, if there's anything, there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you. So when you call, so when you call my name, I'll say to you, if there's anything in my life, there's anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight. I'm listening, Lord, speak to me, speak to me. Hallelujah, amen. So Father, tonight speak to us. Here we are. We've come into your presence. We've come into your hearts. And we keep coming because we realize how important it is for us to stay close to you and to draw near to you. Whenever we come into the house of God like this in the company of other believers, we are actually drawing near to you to have fellowship with you and with one another. And this is a time when your word is about to come, and our prayer tonight is speak to us. We want to be where you are. We want to know who you are. And we want to hear your voice speak to us. So tonight, speak, Father, and grant us understanding and insight. We exalt your name, and we bless you over and over again. And in Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed with thanksgiving. And let everybody say, amen. The Voice of God, Part 4. The Voice of God, Part 4. Turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And we're reading from the New King James Version. This is what the Bible says. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now take note of that. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then it goes on and talks about so many different blessings that will come upon God's people. Now jump to verse 15 of the same Deuteronomy chapter 28. And here it says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then he continues and begins to list a lot of terrible curses. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. Now, you must be aware that the book of Deuteronomy is the last book that, well, let me not say that before I get into theological issues. Really, what it is Moses' last statement. So it is the last book, really. Moses' last words to the people of Israel. All of the book of Deuteronomy was Moses speaking to the people of Israel and trying to remind them about where God picked them from. From the land of bondage, from the house of Egypt, and how God delivered them by his mighty hand from Pharaoh and led them through the Red Sea to that long, torturous journey through the wilderness. It was a very difficult experience for them, and so many things happened. They had good experiences, they had bad experiences. And round about this time, the original crew that left Egypt, all the adults, had died. And now they were on the brink of the Jordan, about to cross over to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, which God had promised them. Now, Moses himself knew that he was about to die, because God had made it clear to him that because he dishonored God by doing something differently from what God had asked him to do, his eyes will see the promised land, but his feet will not step there. And he got into this issue because of the people that he was leading. So I want to appeal to you, the people. Do not lead me into error. You are looking at my nice away face. You won't say amen to. Yes. Because as a pastor, I can come under a lot of pressure. Because if I listen to some of you, I will turn this church into something that is not supposed to be. And all these things happen because of the pressure of the people. It is because of the pressure of the people that pastors, instead of staying on the main thing, which is ministering the word of God to God's people, pastors are forced to get into all kinds of gimmicks and tricks in order to get the people to come and to stay. And you'll be shocked when you find out the sort of places that ministers of the gospel go to in order to go and get something else to add to the word of God, which the Bible says is the power of God unto salvation. So I know what I'm saying, that the people that we pastor can push us and pressurize us into changing the church into something else according to their bidding and according to what they like. And may I inform you emphatically that you won't get me by the grace of God. Yes, you won't get me at all. I will not yield to any pressure from you. That it doesn't include you, because those of you who are here in the times of impartation, you are not like the others, all right? And by the others, those who are not in the service. So if you have joined online, you are also not included in this part of the sermon. But anybody else who is not in church and who is not online is part of those I am addressing this evening. May God have mercy on all our souls. Hallelujah. So Moses said a lot of things to them. But round about this time in chapter 28, he's drawing close to the end of his last speech. And here, he talks to the people about something very important that they need to do. You know, perhaps of everything that he said to them, these two portions of scripture I read summarize all that he wanted to let the people understand. And what he tried to get them to understand is that how they relate and how they respond and how they react to the voice of God is what will determine whether they will be blessed or not, and whether they will do well or not. It will depend on how they respond to the voice of God. If they will listen diligently to the voice of God, and if they will do what they can to observe or obey his commandments and his statutes. He said, if they do this, they will be blessed. He said, they will be blessed in the city, and they will be blessed in the field. They will be blessed in their going out, and they will be blessed in their coming in. Everything to do with them will be blessed. They will prosper and they will flourish. He made it very clear to them. And then now he sounded a warning. He said, but if you do not respond properly to the voice of God, which is to say, if you don't listen diligently to that voice, and if you don't strive to obey his commandments and what his voice says to you, then something very terrible will happen to you. Wherever you find yourself, you will be cursed. You become a byword. You become a laughing stock. Nothing that you do will prosper and flourish. You will have all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Look, the curses, they are very wild. You know, I think that God knew all these things. That's why he had to send Jesus. Because he realized that the way we are, if he were to leave it to us to do what he says we should do and follow his commandments, none of us will make it at the end of the day. And this is what the old covenant revealed, that it was just not possible for human beings to obey all the statutes and the commandments of God without God himself helping them to do so. And that's why Jesus had to come. How many are excited that Jesus came and he sorted all these issues out? Where would we have passed? Where would we be today? Hallelujah. So the emphasis that Moses was trying to lay for the people of God had to do with the voice of God. Everybody say, the voice of God. And ladies and gentlemen, God has a voice and he speaks. Say it with me, God has a voice and he speaks. Can you say it again with much more conviction? God has a voice and he speaks. And ever since the creation of the world, God has been speaking. Amen. So he used to visit Adam and Eve in the garden, and he used to speak to them. Now, the primary way that God is going to lead us and guide us through this life is by his voice and through his voice. And we are not likely to have a theophany, which is where God will manifest himself physically, tangibly, and in an accommodating way to us, like he did with Adam and Eve, like he did with Abraham, like he did with Jacob, like he did with Moses, you know, like he did to even with Nebuchadnezzar, like he did with Saul, who became Paul, and then, you know, all these other people had who? John the Revelator, exactly. And then Joshua, you know. It's not likely that we are going to have that experience, because that's not how God has primarily designed things. God's plan is that he's going to be leading us as we travel along through this life and through this world. His plan is that he's going to lead us through his voice. So it means that one of the things that we must be very skillful at is to know how to identify the voice of God when he's speaking to us, and to follow that voice. And it's not so easy a thing to do. The reason is because apart from God, there are so many other voices that speak to us. All right? There are so many voices vying for our attention. The voice of your flesh, the voice of your mind, the voice of your family, the voice of your parents, the voice of your siblings, the voice of your boss, the voice of your mates, the voice of your friends, the voice of your pastor, the voice of your prophet, the voice of your spouse, voice of your children. Children can really talk. Yeah. And all these voices speak to us all the time. But in there is the voice of God. And we need to develop the art of isolating the voice of God. In fact, let me say this, that sometimes the voice of your parents can be the voice of God. Even the voice of your child can be the voice of God. So those of you who like to shut down children when they are talking, if God can speak through a donkey, what makes you think that he cannot speak to you through your child? And sometimes things can get to a place where God has done everything that he can to get your attention. You're not minding him. Before you realize, your five-year child will say something to you that will hit you hard. It is the voice of God. Hallelujah. So if we are going to do well, if we are going to, you know, prosper, if we are going to be safe, if we are going to be blessed, if we are going to be promoted, if our dreams are going to be fulfilled, then we must learn to skillfully follow the voice of God. First of all, we must identify that voice, and then we must know how to follow that voice. Now, there are some things we need to know about the voice of God, and we've run through them. The first one I said to you is that to know the voice of God, we must know the Lord, be known of him, and submit to him. To know the voice of God, we must know the Lord, we must be known of him, and submit to him. We run through that. Then the second thing that we need to know about the voice of God is that to know the voice of God, we must know the different ways God speaks to us, or the different channels through which God speaks to us. The first channel we looked at is through his word. Through his word. God speaks to us through his word. And I explained to you that if you want to hear the voice of God and know what he's saying to you, you must get into his word. Because the Bible is God's word to us. It is his voice in written form. Amen. Then the second channel through which God speaks to us is through or by the Holy Spirit. Through or by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a voice. So if you look, for example, at John chapter 16, reading from verse 13, from the New Living Translation, John 16, reading from verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Then the next thing it says there is that he will not speak on his own, which means he speaks. And if he speaks, it means he has a voice. Amen. So the Holy Spirit has a voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of God, because he is God. Amen. And he is God who has been given to us to help us. So if God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, another question that we can raise is, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? How does he speak to us? And the first way is audibly, where he speaks directly and specifically to us. It's like you can actually hear it in your ears, physically, audibly. And the Holy Spirit can speak like that. Amen. And I won't be surprised if many of you have had that experience, because I've had it, where I heard a voice speaking to me, and it's like, who is it? All right? Who is it? Sometimes you hear a voice calling your name, and you ask, who called me? You can't see anything, you know? So he speaks audibly. And a classic example of that is when God spoke to the prophet Samuel for the very first time as a little child. He heard the voice of God, and he heard that voice audibly. Audibly, he heard it audibly. And it sounded so human that he assumed that it was Eli, the priest, the high priest, who was calling him. It happened a number of times. And then because Eli was experienced, he realized that God was trying to speak to the little boy. And indeed, that was what it was. And Samuel went on to become one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. All right, so you can actually hear God speaking audibly and directly to you. Now, Philip, the evangelist in Acts chapter 8, had an experience. The Holy Spirit spoke to him when he had to go and meet with the Ethiopian eunuch, who was the one by whom the gospel was to get to the African continent. So I want to submit to you that, strictly speaking, the first time the gospel got to our continent was not by the white Europeans. That's not how it got to us. They came later on. But the first time it got to the black continent of Africa was through this Ethiopian eunuch. So let's get the facts straight. All right? Let's get the facts straight. So Christianity is not a white man's religion. It is not. It originated from Jerusalem, and then it transcended to all the other parts of the world. And it got to Europe along the line. But along the line, the Christian faith became very strong in Europe, and from there, missionaries were sent to different parts of the world. And I'm convinced that it is Africa's turn to send the gospel to other parts of the world. That's what I believe. Because now, many of the places from where the gospel came to us, they don't believe in God anymore. And Christianity has gone down, 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 and down. Last week, I was in a class, and the lecturer showed us a video of the state of the church in England today. It's very, very, very bad. Our brothers from the other side have taken over the entire country. And in a few years to come, England will become Islamic. And not many years down the line, in a few years to come. That's how wild the situation has become. And right now, there's a kind of revival that is taking place in Africa, South America, some parts of Asia. What it means that it is the turn of these places to take the gospel back to the people who originally brought the gospel to us. But when I think about Africa, I fear whether we will do it, because we are very self-centered and we are building our own kingdoms. African pastors and religious leaders are building dynasties, are making a name for themselves. So the money that is supposed to be used to support and drive missions, global missions, is not going to the bodies that are responsible for that. Instead, we are consolidating our gains where we are. And it's very, very unfortunate. And if God doesn't intervene, it will not be good. God have mercy. Anyway, so the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip to go and, you know, meet up with this Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, and I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to him audibly. All right? So there are examples of that. So one of the ways that the Holy Spirit, you know, will speak to us is audibly, where you hear it audibly. But there are other ways, and this next one is the most common, where the Holy Spirit will speak to us through a conviction, through a perception, and through an inner witness. Through a conviction, through a perception, and through an inner witness. Now, a conviction is an inner persuasion or a strong awareness and impression that, in this case, is brought about by the Holy Spirit. That's what a conviction is. It's like an inner persuasion that you have. It's similar to, you know, a perception and an inner witness. Now, the first time this happened to you, ladies and gentlemen, was when you got born again. It is the Holy Spirit who convicted you, and that is why you took that decision to give your life to Jesus. Without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. And that is why Jesus explained that part of the Holy Spirit's assignment is to convict. Look at John chapter 16, verse 7 to 8. Let me remind you of this again. John 16, 7 to 8. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. I was interacting with a couple of Muslims a few days ago, and they kept quoting the scripture, and they said that the one Jesus said he was going to send was the prophet Muhammad. All right, so that's what they believe. All right, God bless them, but that's what they believe. But that's not what the Bible tells us. And the interesting thing is that they are asked in their religious book that when they are not certain about certain things, they should go to the Bible. But then when you mention this to them, they will tell you that, well, they cannot trust the Bible because it's been corrupted. That many of the things that are in the Bible are not true. You know? So then, the question you ask is that, so as the prophet has asked you to go to the Bible for certain answers, which Bible are you going to go to? He's asked you to go to it, but you are saying that it's not true. You know, anyway. So here, so Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, and when he comes, he will do what? What's the word there? Convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now, without a conviction, you cannot be saved. That's a fact. So those who are not saved, it is because they have not yet been convicted. And that conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. And that conviction is an inner persuasion. It is a strong awareness and impression that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's actually the voice of the Holy Spirit to you. That's what a conviction is. And I talked about a perception. So if you read Acts chapter 27, you find out that Paul was in a ship that was conveying him to Rome, because God had purposed that he was going to preach the gospel there also. And they were sailing in a ship, and along the line, Paul advised them that they should slow down, that sailing was dangerous, because they had berthed somewhere and they were in a hurry to go. But he told them that no, there's something bad happening. So he told them that, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss. That's what he said, I perceive. He didn't say like the Holy Spirit spoke to me or an angel came to me. Later on, he talked about when an angel came to him. So that was another experience. But over here, he talked about a perception. And it turned out that that perception was true, which means that it was the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, that was speaking to him. Hallelujah. Then also in Romans chapter 8, the Bible talks about the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit. That's what I mean by an inner witness, where the Holy Spirit communes with your spirit and tells you things, so that you know things, and he shows you a lot of things. So through these convictions and perceptions and inner witness, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So if you ask, Pastor, how can I know the voice of God? Because you are telling me that it's important that I know the voice of God and follow that voice if I'm going to be blessed and do well. I've shown you that you can know that voice through the word of God. When you read the Bible, it is God's voice in written form. Then I've also revealed to you that the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to you and I, speaks to us. He may speak audibly, or the most common one is where he speaks through convictions, perceptions, and inner witnesses. So through these convictions, perceptions, and inner witnesses, what happens is that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he teaches us things, he instructs us, he reveals things to us, he reminds us of things, he comforts us, he passes on messages from the Father and the Son to us. Look at John 14, 26. Through these convictions and perceptions and inner witness, the Holy Spirit does all of these things. He teaches us, he instructs us, he reveals things to us, reminds us of things, he comforts us, he passes on messages to us. John 14, 26, it says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, and here he spells out very clearly who that advocate is. He says, that is the Holy Spirit. He says, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So the Holy Spirit teaches us. So the voice of the Holy Spirit, through convictions, through perceptions, through that inner witness, he teaches us things. He gives us instructions. He reveals things to us. He said he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He reminds us of things. Things that Jesus has said. Things that the Father has said. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit, through these convictions and perceptions and inner witness, he shows us things to come. Very, very important. Shows us things to come, things to do with the future. Look at John 16, 13. John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Then it says, he will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will not speak on his own. So the Holy Spirit, he does not act independently. He acts in conjunction and in communication with the Father and the Son. And he carries out heaven's agenda. He is not an independent operator. All right? That's why he says he will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. Then I like this part of it. He says that he will tell you about the future. The future. He will tell you about the future. Is the future not something that all of us want to know? Because the future is what is ahead of us. And everybody, there's nobody I know who doesn't want to know what is ahead. Because when you know what is ahead, you can arm yourself, you can protect yourself, you can take certain steps. All right? And the Bible is revealing to us that the Holy Spirit, when he comes and he speaks to us, he will tell us about the future. And I'm explaining to you that through the conviction, through the perception, through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, you begin to know things about the future. He will warn you of danger. He will give you insights concerning the future. He will tell you, he will reveal certain truths to you. I tell you. And this is so important. It's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit was given to us. That he will speak to us and show us things to come. This is the reason why you have escaped death. In some circumstances. The only thing is that when we are talking about it, you know, we use expressions like something told me. All right, something told me that I shouldn't go. Something told me that I shouldn't sit in the bus. Something told me that I shouldn't follow them. It is not something. If you are a believer, if you're a Christian, know that the Holy Spirit is in the inside of you and he speaks. And he speaks through convictions, through perceptions. There are some things that you just know that no. The other one is the inner witness. And that inner witness, it goes with a certain presence of peace or the lack of it. So then that peace becomes like a referee. And you have to learn how to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit through the inner witness. If you want to know, if you want to take a major decision for your life, you need to pray about it. But as you are praying about it, listen to the inside of you and check, what sort of perception do I have? If you feel a sense of peace after you have prayed, it's a sign that it's okay to go ahead. But if you don't feel that sense of peace, stop it. You know what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the next thing he says is that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. So peace is like a referee. Peace, the umpire. Alright? So often, when you have to take a major decision, when you have peace, it's an indication that it's okay, go. When you don't have peace, it's a sign that don't go. So when it's okay to go, you get a green light. That's the peace. When you don't have that sense of peace, it means it's a red light. Don't go. Stop. Red light doesn't mean go faster. That's not what it means. Then sometimes it is not green, it's not red, but it's like amber, which means wait. That's the one that we like to go faster. You know? Many Ghanaian drivers, when they see yellow, not change, they tiado and go across before it changes to red. And if you are not fortunate, there will be some kuti. You know, the ones who hide behind trees looking for prey, you know. Because it's like Okodija. So that day, they must get a lot of money. I mean, why are you hiding behind the trees? Stand there for everybody to see you. Anyway. So, That's it. The inner witness. The inner witness. The Holy Spirit does that. He guides us through that. So the voice of the Spirit is the voice of God. He may speak to you audibly, but most of the time, he's going to speak to you through a conviction, through a perception, through an inner witness. Hallelujah. Then, the other channel, apart from the Word of God, apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, this one is connected, but I felt I needed to separate it. It's where God will speak to us through prophecy and teaching and preaching of His Word by His servants. The voice of God can come to you through prophecy or through the preaching and teaching of God's Word by God's servants. All right, so the Word of God has come in again, but I thought I needed to bring that out also, because here there are men involved, the servants of God, they are involved. And ladies and gentlemen, let's make no mistake about it, God can speak, and He does speak through His servants, and He speaks to us through them, through prophecies and through the preaching and the teaching of His Word. So when you come to church and I'm sharing the Word of God with you, please, in that word is a word for you. Or if you like, in all the things that I'm saying, there is a prophetic word for you. Because a prophetic word is a specific word that comes to you at a specific time to address a specific issue, or to empower you to do something specific. That's a prophetic word. Oh, have there not been many instances where you came to church and the Word of God was being preached and the pastor made a statement and the thing hit you big time? It hit you and it gave you direction, or it corrected you, or it guided you, or it helped you to know what to do. That is a prophetic word. So anytime you come to church and the Word of God is being ministered, because when I stand here to minister, look, sometimes I'm even surprised at some of the things I say. I don't like listening to myself. But the few times that I have listened to myself, and I usually do that because I'm trying to check whether everything was okay, whether the recording was okay and everything. Sometimes I am amazed at some of the things that I said, because I didn't plan to say them. There are many things that I've said that is not part of my script, because I put my sermon together and I come and I share it with you. I mean, I don't read from top to bottom. I have points that guide me, and then I speak extemporaneously. But when I stand here ministering the Word of God, I minister under the anointing and under the unction, and the Holy Spirit can speak to me through me, and He does that many times. Don't say that God did not speak. Say that you did not hear. Which is the reason why whenever you're coming into church, into a service, into a Christian gathering, come with the prepared mind and with the spirit of anticipation and a lot of faith. Believe that in that meeting, no matter who is coming to speak, if the person is standing speaking in the name of the Lord, I believe that there will be something that will be a blessing to you. So it's always important to come with a certain attitude. And I'm trying to get you to understand that God can speak to you through His Word. Yes. So as you're reading the Bible, God can speak to you. As you're listening to the Word of God, God can speak to you. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. And I'm bringing another dimension of it, where He speaks to us through prophecy and through the preaching and the teaching of His Word. Because what is prophecy? Prophecy is a message that comes from God, communicated to people through a human vessel, who is sometimes referred to as a prophet. All right? But prophecies do not always come from prophets. The fact that you give a prophecy does not mean you are a prophet. Which is the error that some people make. On your 1, 2, 3 prophetic words, oh yeah, I'm starting my prophetic ministry. Which prophetic ministry? I don't know where people get these things from. You know? So that's what a prophecy, it's a message that comes from God and it's communicated to God's people through a human vessel. Now, what is communicated, it reveals God's will, God's mind, God's intentions, and God's future plans. And it's supposed to guide us, encourage us, correct us, warn us, and foretell us of events. That's what prophecy simply is. Now, I'm trying to get you to understand that these prophecies, this preaching and teaching of God's word, okay? So actually, let me correct this. This point that I'm making is under the voice of the Holy Spirit, actually. It's under the voice of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, number one, speaks to us audibly. Number two, he speaks to us through convictions, perceptions, and inner witnesses. And then number three, he speaks to us through prophecies and teaching and preaching of God's word using God's servants. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Revelation 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. That's what is recorded in the book of Revelation. And it's the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. All right, because it was like one long continuous revelation. All right. Now, he says, this is his report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Then he says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. And he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. So it calls it the words of the prophecy to the church. Now, in this message, series of messages that were given to John, in the first part, he was given messages for the different churches in Asia Minor. There were seven of them. And it's interesting that each time after delivering his message, which was a prophecy, which the Bible is also calling the words of the prophecy, each time there was something he said. So if you look, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he says, anyone with ears to hear must do what? Listen to the Spirit. Now notice that earlier on he described what he was saying as words of prophecy. And now he's connecting those words of prophecy to the Holy Spirit. That those words of prophecy that were read to you, that you heard, actually the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Look at Revelation chapter 2 verse 11 to another church. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Revelation 2:17, same thing there. Revelation 2:29, same thing there. Revelation 3:6, same thing there. Revelation 3:13, same thing there. Revelation 3:22, same words repeated. And you can see that the Bible was at pains to make us understand that the words of prophecy, the words that were recorded by John, were actually the words of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Hallelujah. So I have taken my time to explain this to you, to get you to understand that when you come and the word of God is being preached or a prophecy comes, look, it is true that there have been excesses and there are still a lot of excesses. Now, because of how fascinating and intriguing the prophetic ministry is, it can become a tool for manipulation. But the mistake that I don't want us to make is to throw away the baby with the bathwater. In fact, that is the reason why I decided, I believe under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to dedicate a whole month to talking about the prophetic. And you heard a lot of things. And I'm expecting you to be discerning enough to know what to run with and what to leave out. You must be like the believers in Berea, who after Paul and his companions had ministered, they went back and said the scriptures to find out whether the things that they said were true. And that's what you must do. No matter who comes to stand here to minister the word of God, including myself, I cannot overemphasize the importance of you knowing God for yourself and knowing the word of God for yourself. Because I am human. I may end up giving my private interpretation to the word of God. I try very hard not to do so, but I recognize that I'm fallible and I can make a mistake. So don't take it that everything that I say, you know, it must be it. And you don't interrogate it, you don't scrutinize it. Don't do that. Neither must you do that for any pastor, any man of God. I don't care what his title is. I don't care the number of years he's been in the ministry for. I don't care the number of churches he has, how many members he has. Everybody who stands to preach the word of God, his word must be checked. Yeah. It's a very, very important thing that I'm saying to you. That's why you must know the voice of God. You must know God for yourself. You must know his voice for yourself. You must know the word of God for yourself. The body of Christ is full of children and lazy Christians. They want somebody to do the work for them. Microwave generation. Everything, pa, 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 pa. You want your pastor to pray for you all the time? You want the pastor to read the word and come and explain it to you? But God has given you the ability to be able to read the word of God for yourself and to understand it. And if you did not go to school, there are audio Bibles in your local dialect. Yes. So we are without excuse, especially those of us who live in this generation. So understand that the Spirit of God speaks through prophecies. But the important thing here, ladies and gentlemen, is that you must be discerning. Check things out well. On another occasion, I will run you through the things that we must use to check the Word of God and check things that are preached to us or prophecies that come to us. Please, don't just swallow anything and everything that is said. No matter how nice and how fascinating or how exciting it sounds, you must move beyond that. And I pray that what I've shared with you about the voice of God, I mean, I don't know whether I'll come back to it whenever, but I pray that it's been a blessing to you. But I cannot overemphasize how important it is for you to know the voice of God, and you can know it. Don't allow anybody to deceive you that how you are, you cannot know the voice of God for yourself. It is not true. Are you a child of God? Are you born again? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Then the Holy Spirit is in the inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, he speaks. And the voice of God is available to you. And I pray that as we follow the voice of God, may he bring us to a good place in life. May he guide and direct us. May he show us things to come. May he instruct us. May he open our eyes to see things that we must see, so that we will do well in life. And you can follow the voice of God, and through that act, your business can flourish greatly. You can prosper. You can prosper. You can follow the voice of God. He can, you know, today one of the things that we prayed about, you know, during the miracle hour, we prayed for a miracle of divine conception, which is in two fronts. Those who are believing God for the fruit of the womb. But beyond that, you can conceive an idea. You can conceive a business. God can actually give you some fantastic idea that if you follow through with it, Charlie, so as you are sitting there waiting to get a letter from the Ministry of Roads and Highways, letter, the way things are, I don't think it's going to come, seriously. Believe God to give you ideas to cause you to become pregnant with some powerful idea. God, the Spirit of God can open your eyes to see opportunities. If you jump for those opportunities, that is where your breakthrough is going to come from. Your breakthrough may not necessarily come from what you went to study at school. I'm telling you, it may come from something else. And there are numerous stories of people who prospered because they had an idea. It didn't have anything to do with what they pursued in school, but they followed through with it. You can just have a shop, you sell provisions, whatever. God can give you some idea to a way to market yourself. Before you realize, your business has been catapulted to another dimension. Telling you. And the key thing is following the voice of God. God bless you, my friends. Put your hands together for Jesus. Father, we thank you for tonight. And thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, help us to follow your voice. Follow the voice of God. So that we can end up in the green pastures. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.